The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Last week, as we ended the church year, you were warned by Jesus to keep your lamps fueled with oil, to fill up regularly with the gifts of God, with his means for ensuring that in that great day, when Christ comes again in glory, your lamp will still be burning, that you will still believe, that you will trust in Jesus as your Savior and welcome him when he comes to rescue you. That's what we learned last week. Jesus would fill your flask with oil. That's what he's here to do today, so that you are ready to receive him. Today we learn how to receive him. How do we greet him when he comes again in glory? How do we welcome him? The answer, very plainly from our gospel lesson, is this: you welcome him as a king. He rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. And at first glance, it seems like it is kind of a demeaning kind of a ride. Shouldn't he be riding in on a stallion, on a white horse? But no, he rides in on a donkey, not because donkeys are lowly animals beneath dignified human beings, but no, a donkey was a royal animal. In fact, it was Solomon who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey when he was crowned king. Jesus rides into Jerusalem today, and he is greeted as king. And we learn from the people who welcome him, from the disciples and from the crowds, we learn from them how we should greet Jesus as king. So there are three things, three ways you must greet him. The first is in humility. Not in pride, but humility. The second is in confidence, trusting that he is there as your Lord. And third, in obedience. Welcome him in obedience. Let's start with humility. You can see this plainly as the crowds lead the way. And Jesus is riding on his donkey. And there beneath the donkey's feet even, they lay their cloaks. That is a sign of humility, isn't it? To place your cloak on the path in front of the Savior who is riding on a donkey. It does not come away clean. When you put your cloak on the road, it comes away all muddied and dirty and perhaps even torn. But why would you do that? Because you recognize that he is greater than you, and that whatever you can do to prepare the way, that is what you will do. He is greater and mightier and appointed by God for this purpose. We are told by Paul that in the coming of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow. Many knees will bow unwillingly. Not because they want to be humbled and raised up by their Savior, but because at the long last they must be humbled. But you, dear Christians, you can be prepared. And you can start now by humbling yourself before your Savior. They welcome Jesus first by humbling themselves. They lay their cloaks on the road, but they are not dejected. They are not humiliated in front of Jesus. Instead, they are confident. The song that they sing is this: "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna, which means save us. It's like the cry of everybody who saw Jesus coming with some sort of an affliction and said to him, "Lord, have mercy." They knew that he was there to save, that he can and would save. Hosanna to the Son of David. He is your king and a king who fights for you. He defends you against your enemies. He means to save you. He does not think of you as so many nameless citizens in his kingdom. No, he thinks of himself as your servant king, one who has come to rescue. He rules and governs his kingdom for your sake. And that is why you can be confident in this king. You need not fear. When this king arrives, he is there for you. Humility and confidence, and then obedience. The disciples exemplified this so wonderfully for us. Jesus gives them these strange instructions. Go to the town, into the village, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you anything, you shall say to him, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. Maybe they asked questions in their minds. Maybe they wondered whether this would actually work, that it could just take somebody's donkey, or that this word would be enough. Maybe they wondered, but they did it. They obeyed. This king, as any king does, he gives commands. You cannot have the benefits of his kingdom if you live in rebellion against him. And so your task is to receive him in obedience, to listen to his words and to do what they say. But what kind of a king is he? Remember, he's here to save. And so his commands begin with this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His commands start with this. Believe in me. Trust in me. Put your hope in me. Receive from me my mercy and compassion. And then he goes on. Having been loved by me and by my Father in heaven, love your neighbors as yourself. Listen to his commands. He commands your obedience. Unlike earthly kings with whom we can find very great faults, there is no fault or blame to be found in this king. He never commands you for his own sake, for his own selfish desires. No, he commands you what's good. What's good for you and good for your neighbor. And so welcome him in obedience. Humility and confidence and obedience. That's what seemed he was received that day. Palm Sunday. We get the festivals a little bit out of order this time of year. We read this Palm Sunday lesson every year at the beginning of Advent because we are preparing to welcome Jesus when he comes again. As much as Advent is preparing for Christmas, it is also preparing for the second coming of Jesus. And those crowds and the disciples, they were all there welcoming Jesus in just this way, in humility and in confidence and in obedience, laying down their cloaks and crying, Hosanna, and doing as he directed them and following his lead wherever he went. It seemed they were welcoming him aright until they weren't. Until his path continued on to the cross. And this is where the rub comes in. They were ready to welcome him as a king, but not as a suffering king. Not as a dying king, not as a king with hands and feet and side pierced. Not as a king who breathed his last, not as a king who was suffering the mockery and scorn of the world. They did not want the cross. They could not grasp it. It didn't make sense to them. They didn't understand how that could be their king. And so, one by one, and eventually all of them, fled from Jesus. Those crowds who were crying, Hosanna, they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And even his closest disciples, Peter, who said he would never abandon Jesus and that he would follow him even unto death, Peter fled when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were willing to welcome him as king for a time, but not all the way. And there is a lesson for you and me as well. It will not do to welcome Jesus as king for some of the time or part of the way. No, if he's going to be our king, he's going to be our king entirely. And that includes in this way. It's a king who must suffer and die because our chief enemy is nothing in this world. It's not other kings or armies or sickness or trouble or plague. Whatever it might be, that is not our chief enemy. Our chief enemy is the sin, that dwells in our hearts. And if he is going to rescue us from that, he must die for your sake and for mine. He must go to the cross if he wants to rule over your hearts. And that is where you must follow him. And that is where you must learn humility. And that is where you must gain confidence that he is here to save. They did not want that kind of a king, but that is just the kind of a king that you and I need. And that is the kind of a king you should prepare to welcome when he comes again in glory. I told you last week that Christians, and all people for that matter, die in the same way that they have lived. It's kind of another version of this adage that I give to the kids. You get good at what you practice. You get good at what you practice. And so as you prepare to welcome Jesus on the last day, think about how you welcome him now. He is here, in fact, today, and will present himself to you in his body and his blood today, your king, for you, for salvation. How do you greet him today? Well, think about it. You began in humility. You confessed your sins. I, a poor, miserable sinner. Plead guilty of all sins, that's good. Plead guilty of all the sins that you know and the ones you don't know, the ones that you knew better and the ones that snuck up on you. Plead guilty of all of them and do not withhold any of your sins from your Savior. Do not hide any of your guilt from his gaze. Instead, as you are here today, gladly, joyfully, take up the lowest position. Take up the position of being the chief of sinners. Let that be each one of us, thinking of ourselves rightly as the chief of sinners, not exalting ourselves in his presence, but being humble so that he can raise us up. So long as we think we have something to claim in his presence, well, I'm not really so bad. My sins aren't really so grievous. There are people here who are worse than me. So long as we think that in his presence, we have not humbled ourselves before our King. And if we are not humble before our King, then we cannot receive from him his blessing. And so let your confession rule your life. I, a poor, miserable sinner. Mean it when you say it. But do not stop there, because of course Jesus does not want you to remain lowly just so he can drive you into the dirt. No, he wants you to be lowly and humble so that he can raise you up. And he wants you to be confident, as you have been. You've expressed your confidence. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And when your sins were forgiven for Christ's sake in his name, you all said, Amen, which means, yes, yes, Lord, it shall be so. Confident that when he says your sins are forgiven, he means it. And you know that he means it because he has secured the forgiveness of your sins by his own blood. What more could he have done to show you that he wants to save you? What greater price could he have paid to redeem you from your sins? Do not doubt his love for you. He suffered and died. Do not doubt his power to save. He rules over the wind and the waves. He rules over the heavens, and he even rules over the grave. That's the lesson we learn at Easter. He has destroyed the power of hell. So do not fear. And do not give energy to your worries or your anxiety or your concern. Do not fear. Your King is here to save. When the temptation to doubt creeps in, cry like the people did, Hosanna. Lord, you better save me. Lord, have mercy. Be confident that your King is here to save. That's what you receive in the body and blood of Jesus. You receive your King's salvation. Having begun in this humble way and continue with confidence, your next step is to obey. That's how you welcome your King. Those sins that you've confessed, leave them behind. Listen, as St. Paul says it, cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Make no provision for the flesh. The love that you've received from Jesus, let that be the love that rules in your life. Having trusted in his salvation, believe that he means to set you free from your sins, that he wants you to live in them no longer. He wants you to live in the light. Listen to his word and take your cue from Jesus. Go where he directs. Follow according to his commands. Decide your responsibilities and your duties based on what he says you should do. Let his love and his word direct your passions and the desires of your heart. Crucify your flesh and be raised in his word. Obey your king. Remember, whatever he says to you is not because he just wants to domineer over you, or because he wants to ruin your fun, or he wants to make life miserable for you. No, he commands you. He commands you because he loves you, and he gives you a better way to live. And so listen to his word and follow his commands. Greet him that way today. Greet him in humility and confidence and obedience today. Practice it and get good at it, so that on the last day, that is how you will greet him when he comes again in glory. Behold, your king comes to you today, not riding on a donkey, but hidden with the bread and the wine. He comes to you with his pierced flesh and his flowing blood, pierced and flowing because of your sins. He comes to you as a Lord, and so bend your knee when you come to this altar. He comes to you to save, and so take heart. As you return to your homes from this place, he comes to you to command your obedience, to draw you into his love, to greet him in humility and confidence and in obedience. That is our calling today. Let us put that into practice. Let us pray that the Spirit would guide us into that kind of a life. Let us pray that God would enable us to welcome him aright, so that on the last day, we will be ready to receive him when he returns again in glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.